Well, thanks, Jared. Good to have you up here, mate, speaking and bringing to us God's word. And good morning to you all. I extend my welcome. It's great to be back. It really is. It's great to get away, but it's always great to come home, especially when your church is as amazing as you guys are. So, Kel and I are ecstatic to be back. But I hear in the absence, you've had a great couple of weeks, in particular last week, where we said farewell to Ian and Debbie and little Kai. And no doubt it was an emotional service as well for all of us. And Kelly and I were disappointed not to be able to make the service and also the lunch, but we were able to have Ian, Debbie and Kai over around 2 hours on Tuesday night to say our goodbyes and farewells and to pray for Kai as well. So that was a special night, and we obviously continue to wish them well, and we encourage you to continue to pray for Ian and Debbie as they're probably up now in Port Macquarie looking for another church to call home. And we also want to be praying for Kai as well, because this week he started the transition, or he left Ian and Debbie to start permanent full-time care with his new family, which is full-on, as you can imagine. And Kellen and I have been very much praying for Kai, because we reflect on our own little Malachi, who's the same age as Kai, and thinking if he was to take out of our family into another context, it's full-on. But Kai is a very resilient young man, as we've all seen, but we do continue to cover him in prayer. And this morning we continue with our series in Simplify, and it's the fourth and final topic, repurpose. And in my absence, our first week I looked at the topic of replenish, and then Cheryl took you through rescheduling, refinancing, and I pray and our prayers that this series has been worthwhile for you guys. As every series, we pray it's been a blessing that you can take some tools away to implement into your own lives. But I thank Cheryl for leading the services in my absence, and again, I heard she spoke with authority and spoke really well, and some great tools for us again to apply to our lives. So thank you, Cheryl. He's not here today, I don't believe, that's fine. But this series is all about simplifying our lives, as the title suggests, and it very much is about simplifying our lives, stripping it back so we can experience all that God has called us to experience. For I don't believe that we are created to be so busy. Would you agree? I don't think we are created to be so busy, so stressful, so worried about money, fitting in that friend into our already busy schedules. It's not normal. I don't believe it's normal, and this is the reason for this series. And as Cheryl pointed out, it's a series out of Willow Creek Church in the United States. Bill Hybels wrote a book on it, so if you want to do some further reading, check it out. But we've obviously reworked it to fit our context. But again, some great tools, hopefully, you can take away to apply to your life in order to simplify our lives and to experience all that God has called us to experience. As we look at Jesus, our ultimate model for our lives, when I look to him, I don't see an overstressed, overworked, overwhelmed, exhausted individual. I don't know about you, but I see a very wise man, a man who was able to create boundaries in and around his life. He was very busy, wasn't he? He was always on the go. But I never saw a man or see a man who was overscheduled, overwhelmed with all the work that he did. And so we need to model that example of life within our own lives, and that's what this series is all about. Ultimately, looking to the example of Christ, modeling his way of life and how he went about life in order that we may again experience all that God has experienced us to experience. So I pray that you have been blessed by this series. If you haven't been here over the last few weeks, I encourage you to go online to check out the last few topics in this series to catch up. But as I said, replenish, reschedule, refinance. Today we finish with repurpose. So let me pray for us as we come to that topic this morning. Well, Father God, again, we come before you humbly in prayer. And we do thank you for your son, Jesus. We acknowledge this morning that is the reason for why we meet in this place. We come to worship you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and last. And Father God, as we come now to this topic and finish this series, I pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to enlighten our hearts, our minds, our spirits to the reality of your word and who you've called us to become. Father God, I pray that you'll guide us and lead us in this time, and help us ultimately to simplify our lives in order to experience all that you have created us to experience and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in my first week, I likened our lives to a petrol gauge, if you remember back to the first week. And the reality is that when we go into our weeks, in our work, when we're going about our lives, our holistic well-being, we can head towards empty pretty quickly, can't we? Holistic in sense of our mental, our emotional, our physical well-being. If we're not careful with our lives, we can get towards empty, and that's not a place you really want to be. Now, I spoke about the importance of replenishing and gave us a list of ideas or things that I've implemented in my own life, in my own rhythms, in order to continually replenish. And as I said, this time of year provides great opportunity to replenish and do all that we've looked at over the last few weeks, doesn't it? But the idea is that we don't just wait until January to do this, to replenish and to reschedule and to refinance, but we're continually looking at these things throughout our year, throughout our lives. Again, Cheryl spoke about the importance of rescheduling our lives, refinancing our lives. And I believe by doing this, by simplifying our lives in these areas, it will ensure that we don't head towards empty at a rapid rate. Would you agree? The key thing that I spoke about in my first week, the key thing that I said that will replenish us holistically is who or what? Does anyone remember who was here? It's one of those Bible, kids church answers. Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to replenish us ultimately, amen? Our spiritually, emotionally, everything. Jesus is the key replenisher. And in that, I spoke about the importance of finding time in our weeks to be replenished by Him. Through His Word, through building rhythms of secrecy and solitude, the reality is that Jesus is the only one that's going to fill us up. He is food for our souls. If you're thirsty, go to His well. If you're hungry, go to His Word. Jesus is the key replenisher. The other thing I spoke about was time with family being a key replenisher. And I can safely say that Kelly and I have practiced what I preached in that first week. We've been able to go away and spend some great time with family, spend time with God, and as a result, we feel replenished. We're re-energized to go again in 2019. But one of the things that I was able to do over the last couple of weeks with the family was build and put together Malachi's toys. So his birthday's in November, we had Christmas, he had a mountain and multitude of toys, and some of them required me putting them together. And it's fair to say over the last few weeks, there's been a few moments where I've been pulling my hair out, blaming the instructions for not doing what they're meant to be doing. Who's had that experience before? Not just with toys, but with IKEA furniture? Yes? If you want to go to the next slide there, Alan, this has been my experience over the last few weeks. And I'm sure you can relate to that, especially with the furniture situation. So everyone can relate to that? Yeah? I definitely can over the last few weeks. But within these situations, I've found that sometimes as you put these things together, the furniture or toys, whatever it is, you get halfway through it after 2 hours of frustrating labor, trying to put this toy together or this item of furniture, only to realize that you've forgotten the most important part. Anyone done that before? You get to it and you're like, oh my goodness, I've got to start all over again, take apart what I've done, put that most important part in the center where it's meant to be, and continue going on. Has anyone done that before? Yeah. So that was been my experience over the last few weeks. But for me, the Christian faith is exactly the same. Our lives are exactly the same. So often in life, we forget the most important part, don't we? The key ingredient that's going to ultimately keep our lives together. And that essential ingredient, that key part, is ultimately Jesus. Without Him, our lives fall apart. He should be our number one priority. Jesus should always come first in our lives. And that's what today is ultimately all about. A simple message, I hope, to encourage us to continue to make Jesus Christ the center of our lives in 2019 and beyond. To understand our ultimate purpose in life and ensuring that we continually remind ourselves or repurpose, if we need to, in order that we keep number one, number one. That we keep the main thing in our lives. So what is our ultimate purpose? Why were we created? Well, Colossians 1, 16 and 17, as Alan read out to us as well, it says, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We get further insight into our ultimate purpose in Isaiah 43:7, which says, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." All these verses, what they do is reveal to us, in fact, the whole entire Bible, Scripture reveals to us that life isn't about us, is it? As much as we like to make it about ourselves sometimes and put ourselves first, life and we were created to put God number one. We were created ultimately to worship Him, which is giving you a bit of an insight into what I'm going to be speaking about next week when we launch our theme for the year. We were created to worship Him. We were created to make God our number one priority. That is our ultimate purpose in life, and that is the first point this morning. Our purpose in life is to live for Him. Our purpose in life is to live for Him. And hear me when I say this to you, that when you do this, when you put God first in your life, everything will come into order. Everything will be in order. And I'm not saying that life will be easy or perfect. I'm not saying that you won't go through hardship of some kind. I'm saying that your life will be in order. But when Jesus is in the center of your life, it crumbles. Our lives fall apart. So I ask you, with all of this in mind, is God number one in your life? Is Jesus the very center of your being? Is He your number one priority? The answer to this question is, what do you do when you wake up in the when you wake up first thing in the morning? Is your first inclination to go to Jesus and to thank Him for the breath that you've just taken? Or does your mind automatically go to work, to the kids, to food, to drink? I think when we wake up in the morning, if Jesus is our number one, we're saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Go before me in my day." It's not that simple, is it? It's a difficult thing to make God number one in our lives. And the reason for that is because of our sin, yes. We are so easily entangled by sin. It holds us back from experiencing all that we are to experience. We are broken beings. We're broken vessels, aren't we? Not only that, but we have distractions in the world around us. And I know Cheryl has been talking about this over the last few weeks. We have distractions in our society and our world that allows us to lose focus. We get distracted and we lose focus and we lose sight of the bigger picture in life. And so, which brings us to this passage in 1 Corinthians 8, 1-6, which Jared read out to us earlier. The Apostle Paul, he again outlines our wider purpose. And for those who are followers of Jesus here this morning, he says, "There is but yet for us, there is but one God, the Father from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through Him or through whom all things came and through whom we live." Again, our ultimate purpose. The reason why we were created. But before that, he starts to talk about eating food that has been sacrificed to idols, doesn't he? He talks about things that distract us from making God number one. And if you go across the multitude of epistles and letters that the Apostle Paul has written, there's a number of times where he outlines the real threat that idols are in our lives. Idol worship. Many a time he's written to churches, not just in Corinth, but in Galatia. And in these places, they say, be careful of idols. And the reason he says that is because these people that have become Christians, Gentiles who have become Christians, he's telling them, leave behind your old way of life. Put it to death. Don't have anything to do with it. There is only one God. Worship Him. Be sold out for Him. And you may be thinking that, well, I don't have an issue with worshiping another God or a statue. I don't really have an issue, Dan, with eating meat sacrificed to other gods. But if you look at the word idol in this context, it's talking more than just other gods or worshipping statues. It's talking about that which takes us or distracts us from making God number one. So what are the idols in our society? What do you guys believe are the things that stop us from making God number one? I'm keen to know. Just shout it out where you are. Money? Yep, huge one.
A new car.
New cars, yes.
Sport.
Sport, 100%.
Television.
What was that, Dorothy?
Television.
Television, yep, absolutely. That's an idol for some. Media, yep, definitely. Anything else?
Jobs,
work. Huge one, yeah. There's a lot of idols in our society, isn't there? A lot of idols that distract us from the bigger picture, that make us lose sight. And sometimes these idols in our lives, they are addictions. And it's not as simple as just eradicating them like that. They're addictions that require much prayer, much support. And if you are struggling with an addiction at this moment, if you know that there's an addiction in your life that's stopping you from experiencing all that God is desiring you to experience and more, then come see somebody. Open up to someone. That's the first step of accountability, to say, I've got an issue. I need help. And that is the purpose of the church, is it not? To come alongside those individuals in a safe environment, to pray for them, to support them. Now, sometimes you may need to go outside of the church walls to get professional help. You know, I've been in that place, so I've gone there. I put my hand up at a point in my life and said, I need to eradicate this idol in my life. We need to do this because these idols, as we chase after these material pursuits, whatever they are, they overcomplicate our lives. Do you find that? We spend every second of every day pursuing more money, pursuing a better job, pursuing a new car. That just overcomplicates things. Hence, the need to simplify our lives and get back to making the main thing the main thing. And as we do this, what it leads us to ultimately doing is we compartmentalize our life. And what I mean by that is, for some Christians and for some people, even here today, that we make God just one part or one aspect of our life. And I've used this illustration before, but if you want to go to that illustration, everyone remember the or know of the high school food tray? You've seen movies in US movies, you know, the cafeteria, they have them in Australia as well. But what we do, they have compartments. And what we do with our life, if this is a illustration for life, is that we put our job and career in one compartment. We have another aspect or component of our life is our family life, our friends and social life. And then God is there because we believe in Jesus, we love Jesus, we go to church. So he has to be in my life somewhere. Does that picture look right to you based on Scripture? To just have God one compartment of our lives? I believe Scripture tells us and God desires us not to be, not have him as one compartment of our life, but to be right at the center, right in the middle. Instead of being one compartment of the food tray, if you go to the next slide, Alan, he wants to be the whole food tray. For you see, God doesn't want us to be one facet of our life. Again, he doesn't want it to be just another compartment in our already busy schedules and lives. He desires us to make him the very center of our being. The number one priority, and everything else bounces off that, comes in and around that. God first, everything underneath. Every facet of our lives are to be governed by him. And so not only this time of year, but throughout the year, again, we should be scheduling times into our days, our rhythms of life, to be able to sit and be still before him, to remind ourselves of that ultimate purpose. If God is not the very center of your life at the moment, if you can identify with that and say, yeah, I've just got him as one facet, one component, I'll go to church from time to time. He wants your life to be governed by him. And that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to enjoy these things. He's given those things for us to enjoy, hasn't he? He's given us friends, he's given us work, he's given all these things to enjoy. But if they are number one, that's incorrect in his books. God first, everything else underneath. So how can we do that? Well, first and foremost, maybe it is just on a Monday morning, the first thing you do on a Monday morning before you go to work or wherever your life may take you, to sit and be still before God and say, I exist, but my number one priority and purpose is to glorify you first and foremost in my life. And then allow that rhythm to dictate the rest of your week, everything you do at work, at home with the families. Everything you do in your life needs to be governed and directed by him because he knows all things, amen? He knows your life. He saw when you were knitted in your mother's womb. He knows your life intimately. He just wants to be a part of it in a big, big way. So encourage us to repurpose, to remind ourselves of our ultimate purpose, that we live for Him and Him alone. For when we do this, when we choose to live for Him and Him alone, we live for Him. To live for Him requires living for Him. And what I mean by that is when we prioritize Him, when we put God the center of our lives, we're dictated by what matters to Him, aren't we? So what matters to God? Well, again, we look to Jesus, don't we? We look to His example of life. So what mattered to Jesus? What do you guys think mattered to Him? What did He prioritize in His life? What was that? His Father, yep, first and foremost, yep. Yep. Love, yep. So what did that look like, tangibly? He loved God, He loved us, so what did that look like? What did He do?
He helped others.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. What else? What was that? Yeah, ultimately, yeah, 100%. Modeled that way of life to us, dying for us on the cross, reconciling us back to God. What other things? Is that it?
He healed.
He healed. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. He valued the lost, didn't he? Did he value the lost? Did he not speak about the parable of the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep? He had a heart for the lost. He went for the lost. Do we have a heart for the lost? Again, someone said he cared for the sick. He healed the sick. He restored the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He cared for the marginalized, the poor, the alienated, the oppressed. That is what he did. He came to bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth, to reveal the kingdom of God to man. He did bring sight to the blind. He restored the sick. He freed the captive. And again, He ultimately reconciled us to God by His death on the cross. That's what matters to Jesus. That's the way of life that He led. Does that matter to us too? To live for Him requires living for Him. But again, are we just too focused on work, money, careers, getting that new car? All those things will fall to the wayside. Have you found that? You get a brand new car, the novelty lasts a few weeks, you want a new one straight away. You get a new iPhone, the next one comes out, oh, this is boring, I'll get the next one. Don't live like that. It's a waste of time, waste of a life. Live like Jesus. And in Matthew 22, 37 to 38, when Jesus was ultimately asked, what is the meaning of life? Or what is the greatest commandment? Most of us should know this. What did He say? Love the Lord your God with all your with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is number one. Number one priority. What is number two? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. When you realize what matters to God, then love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Simple, right? Not so simple. Again, sin gets in the way. We get in the way. It should really be very simple. But again, we've overcomplicated life. We've made life something that it's not meant to be. So this is again why it is important to continually spend time repurposing our spirits and our hearts, our minds before God, to remind ourselves of that greater purpose, the reason we were ultimately created. And Jesus was able to demonstrate this. He was able to show us the difficulty it is for humans and us, man and woman, to take away themselves, to ignore the ways of the world and pursue Him as number one. And He demonstrated this through the example, the living example of a young man who was very wealthy. And Jesus used this interaction with this man as an object lesson, an example of how difficult it can be. And this man was very curious about Jesus. He was a very wealthy man, a young man. And he saw Jesus from afar and he thought, I'm going to go speak to Him. And so he mustered up the courage to go and to speak to Jesus like many people wanted to do. Jesus invited a lot of curiosity in first century Israel, didn't he? And so what this young wealthy man did, he mustered up the courage, he went up to Jesus, he asked Him a pretty loaded question. That question was, Jesus, what good thing or good deed do I have to do to inherit eternal life?
He must be born again.
Amen. Amen. That's not what he said to begin with, though. He said, the good thing or good deed that you must do is to obey the law of God. To please him is to obey his law, to live his way of life. That's the good thing or the good deed that you must do. And this young man, knowing he had just done that, he knows he's a good person, he lives according to God's laws, he responds by saying, all of these I have kept. And then he asks a very important question of Jesus, a question that I believe that takes a great amount of courage and that each of us should be asking here this morning. He says, is there anything else I still lack, Jesus? I've lived the life you've called me to live, but is there anything else I lack? That's a dangerous question, isn't it? Jesus loves these questions because you're getting somewhere. And there's to this great question, there is an ever better response. And again, I think it takes even greater courage to live out the response than it does to ask the question in the first place. Jesus says to this man, truly, if you want to live for me, if you want to honor me with your life, then go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Simple, isn't it? Or is it? Again, it's very difficult to do this, isn't it? Again, because we put so much value on these things, material possessions. The answer for this young man and for all of us, this calling will depend upon who your number one is in your life. Who you prioritize over and above everyone else. What is your essential ingredient, your most important part? What do you deem that to be? If Jesus truly is your number one in your life and my life, and he called us to do this, then it would be no hesitations. Done, sold, gone. I'm for you, Jesus, and that alone. But again, it's hard to get to this place. And so for many of us here today, I think there would be some hesitation. We do need to do some soul searching. For this young man, he was unable to do it. For again, his heart and his treasures were in worldly possessions. They were in money and riches and wealth. That was his number one priority. That was the key ingredient that he had put into his life. That's what he lived for. That was his ultimate purpose, albeit a false purpose. For you see, I don't believe that God or Jesus essentially is going to call us to do this here right now today. Like, Jesus cares about the heart, doesn't he? He wants the heart in the right posture, in the right place, where if he did call us to do that, we'll drop everything at a heartbeat and pursue his calling. That's where he wants us. And when you are able to do that, that's when you know that Jesus is number one in your life. And if you truly want to live for him, if he is your number one, then live for him. Go after the lost. Go after the poor, the hungry, the marginalized, the oppressed. Be generous with your money. Give away instead of wanting to receive all the time. And again, this is a hard, this is a challenge, and that's why we need God to guide us by his Holy Spirit. For the rich young man, the rich young ruler, as many of us know this passage to be, his decision to not do what Jesus asked would and spare all his goods for the poor would bring into question whether he really loved his neighbor as himself. The question here this morning is, do we care enough about the marginalized, the poor, the oppressed, the lost in our communities and in our world? Micah 6:8 says as we finish, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you and I? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Have we remembered to keep the main thing this year? Have we prioritized God as number one? For he is ultimately the thing that holds everything together. Amen. Our purpose is to live for him. Second of all, to live for him requires living for him. This is why we have ultimately been created. And may you and I this year as St. Susie Baptist Church seek to live that out this year and beyond. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, again, we just humble ourselves before you, our mighty King, our mighty Saviour. And Father God, we know that we don't always get things right. Father God, we are limited beings, and you experienced that when you came to earth, when you put on flesh. You have experienced the limitedness of our bodies, of our souls. But that is ultimately why you came, Lord, to show us the way forward, to reconcile us back unto yourself so that we didn't have to live life on our own, but we could draw on your Holy Spirit, to draw on your Holy Spirit, to be transformed, to be renewed into your very image, Father. And so, Father, for this series, for the rest of our lives, I pray that we would remind ourselves of that ultimate purpose, the way we have been created. And I pray, Lord God, that as we've gone through these topics over the last few weeks, that they would resonate in our hearts, that we would put things in place, that we would be intentional in order to experience all that we have been created to experience and more. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your incarnate word, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the life that we have in you. Please be with us, Lord, and help us to live a life worthy of your calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest